shall the fame of Jesus Christ ever cease or diminish? I believe the answer is no. Let us continue to look in the Gospel according to Mark to see why the fame of Jesus will not cease or diminish, but will spread even more than it already has. Demons and diseases obeyed Jesus, increasing his fame. His fame shall increase endlessly if we do even better by obeying him joyfully. Now let's look at verses 21 to 28 of Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, 21 to 28. And see how the fame of Jesus spread in Galilee. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round Galilee. Jesus finds a place of spiritual instruction and immediately goes there and starts teaching. Jesus avoided the talk in which we engage, heading straight toward spiritual matters and teaching. Once his ministry started, the time of his death was soon, and there was no time to waste on trivial matters and talk. Nothing else matters in the end except for what we believe. So he headed immediately toward teaching, giving the necessities of life, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And that is what he came to give the world. Therefore, in this text here, he taught with authority. In Matthew chapter 7, when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount and concluded that sermon, he caused the same reaction in the people then. And Matthew gives the same reason. Listen to Matthew 7, 27 and 28, or 28 and 29. "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Almost identical to what we just saw in Mark chapter 1. Here in Matthew, Jesus did not quote scribes or scholars, but spoke as the originator of the doctrine. In Mark, he utters a command, "Be quiet and come out of him," speaking to a demon. And the demon obeys the Lord. Demons are more powerful than men. Therefore, they do not listen to men. When this demon listens to Jesus and does what he says, that shows power and authority that no man has, but only one who has come straight from God. When God's word is taught, Satan is displeased and will try to prevent it from being done or to keep people from hearing it. Therefore, Jesus silenced this demon. Now, did you notice what the demon said to Jesus? You could categorize it in four ways. Number one, he says to Jesus to leave us alone. He is speaking for all the demons. Number two, he knows that he has no fellowship with Jesus. Number three, he knows that a time of destruction is coming. And number four, he knows who Jesus is. After these events, the fame of Jesus spreads in Galilee. To this day, his fame has not stopped spreading. The next thing Jesus does is heal the mother-in-law of Peter. Let's look now back at Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Luke begins these verses by saying, as soon as, that is immediately, Jesus left the synagogue and went to Peter's house. Interestingly, 2 weeks ago, when we were in verse 18, we noticed that Peter left his nets. He left his occupation, but he still had a house. At once, that is immediately, they informed Jesus of Peter's mother-in-law. Now, some fevers are dangerous without modern medicine. Generally, a fever is a sign that your body is fighting an infection and so should not be stopped. But others can kill. Brother Kevin Sellers, who will speak at our creation seminar later this year and is a doctor of internal medicine up in Newburgh, told me the following in response to a question that I had for him about this text. And here's what Kevin said. It is true that this is one of the body's defense mechanisms against infection and should not be routinely suppressed. There are only a few reasons why I will treat a fever. Extreme temperatures, cardiac or pulmonary patients with minimal reserve, children, especially under 5 years, and in some cases, liver, renal, that's kidney, or brain syndrome patients. After listing the problems of the fever, he then went on to say this: I do not know what her condition was, or of course what her medical history was, but it is certain that a high temperature has the ability to lead to cellular and human death. I have, for whatever reason, thought that his mother-in-law probably had an extreme fever. Without the modern-day drugs that could bring fever down, she very well could have died. So this was no doubt a very serious problem that she had. But watch the instantaneousness of this healing, of this miracle. All Jesus does is take her by the hand and lift her up. There is no medicine. There is no recovery period. And then watch her response. She had been served, but now, undoubtedly thankful for the service rendered to her and that the Lord had healed her, she immediately does what they had been doing to her. She did not want to be always on the receiving end, but saw herself as a servant of God. God make us all like her. Well, of course, the fame of Jesus increases. Look at verses 32 to 34. Now at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. After healing Peter's mother-in-law, people began to bring those who are sick or demon-possessed, bringing them to Jesus, of course, wanting him to help them as well. News of her miraculous healing spread, but it is still the Sabbath, according to verse 29. And so they wait until the Sabbath is over after 6 p.m. to make the walk to Peter's house because they're carrying burdens. Then Jesus healed the sick of various diseases. He is Lord of heaven and earth. Therefore, there is no restriction on the kind of disease that he can heal. In his miraculous healing ministry, he healed in the formalities of a synagogue, in the privacy of a home, and in the public streets. That is, he healed miraculously whoever, whenever, and wherever it was needed. He also cast out demons. Now, in those days, God allowed demons to possess people so that it would provide opportunities for Jesus to show his power and his authority. And then people would know, this man is more than a carpenter. He is the Son of God. Moreover, he did not allow the demons to speak, but they listened to him. As I showed you in verses 21 through 28, this demonstrated his power and authority over beings who are greater than men. They comply because they know who Jesus is. He did not allow them to speak because he does not need demons to endorse him. Although, when they did confess, they were speaking the truth. And so that certainly affirmed who he is. Again, his fame continues to spread. Now let's look at verses 35 to 39. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to his solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. There is something about prayer that even the Son of God needs to start his day with it. So much so that he prays, according to the text, a long while before daylight, seeking a solitary place that he may be removed from all distractions. Our Master is a deeply spiritual person. While Jesus seeks the Father His apostles and the people seek Him. When He hears the people are searching for Him, He wants to preach in other places because He explains His purpose. His purpose for coming to earth was to preach. Therefore, He could not let anything, not even doing miracles, deter Him from this all-important work. He was willing to leave a successful campaign in one place where people were thronging to see Him, where whole towns would come to one house to see Him and to hear Him and to be healed. He's willing to leave such success and go to another place where we will find Him deal with people one-on-one. God loves the world, but God also loves me. He loves this whole planet and everyone who's on it. But He knows about me and He cares about you. His fame even grew to the point where He was prevented from entering cities. Look at verses 40 through 45 now. Then a leper came to Him, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him and saying to Him, "If You are willing, You can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out His hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." As soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And He strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And He said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to him." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to Him from every quarter. Now look at this leper. He's humble, but he's also wise. He knew that it was not whether Jesus can cleanse, but will He do it? The humility of the leper and his recognition of the ability of Jesus Christ moved the Lord to compassion. Jesus touches the leper and speaks words of healing. And immediately, the Bible says, the leprosy left. Now, the Old Testament taught that a leper was to take certain actions to avoid the public or the population, announcing who he was ahead of time and covering himself and so on. But Jesus did not avoid the man. Jesus got so close to him that he could speak to him and even touch him. A man who had a dreaded and awful disease. See the power of His Word when He is able to speak the healing of a dreaded disease, bypassing all natural and medicinal procedures. Jesus tells the man to keep silent and to do as the law commands. Yet the man proclaimed freely what the Lord did. And the fruit from this man's preaching is that the fame of Jesus increases even more. Do you see in the story of Jesus that if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you? Let His fame increase in our hearts so that there's no room for anything else. But Jesus rules and reigns supreme in my heart to heal my soul of its diseases and demons. Draw near to Him, not only for what He can give to you, but because you love Him. For His compassion towards you. Yes, we're looking at a story in the Gospel according to Mark of how Jesus showed compassion to people. But why is this in the Bible? Just so that we can know something that happened many centuries ago to another people at another time and place? It's to show us that that same compassion that moved Him to help those people is still available to us. He still has compassion on every single one of us. And He wants us to notice Him, that His fame might increase inside each of us. Therefore, I plead with you to draw near to Him and increase His fame by believing in who He is. Now, those demons knew who Jesus was. They knew that He is the Holy One of God. And I encourage you to look at the evidence and see that that's the truth. He is the Holy One from God. Meaning He is the Messiah or the Christ, the Anointed One from God. The One whom God has chosen to bring salvation to the world and peace into your soul. But then we've got to do better than those demons and those diseases. They obeyed Jesus, but we notice that first casting out of a demon, how He convulsed the person that He was in. It's like He was fighting it. Oh, He was obeying the Lord, but He was going to fight it all the way. We can bring fame to Jesus even better than that demon did by not fighting obedience, but by complying with the Lord immediately and joyfully. Have you noticed, so far we've just hit the first chapter of Mark, and have you noticed how many times Mark points out that something happened immediately? Immediately the demons were cast out. Immediately the diseases were gone. Let it also be said about us that immediately we obeyed the Lord. We saw what to do because we knew that He's the Lord, and so we obeyed Him as soon as we could. And we did it joyfully. We did it when we were baptized, and we've done it with every other command since then. Oh, you haven't been baptized yet? You haven't become a Christian? Why not? If you're ready, we want to plead with you that as we sing this invitation song, that you think about the words, and you think about what you've seen here about this Jesus. And you can come forward as we stand and sing, and we'll help you in your obedience. Come right now as we sing.